We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Bay Zero Season 4, Episode 16 starts right now. Welcome to the show. I'm Brandon Davis, joined today by Jenna Anderson.
Hey, everybody.
Jamie Jarek.
Good morning.
And Aaron Breen.
He's back again. Hooray.
I don't even know where I've been. If you asked me where you've been, I'd be like, I'm not even sure. Here, there, everywhere. West Coast, East Coast, across the... I don't even know. I wasn't in London. I don't know. Anyway, I'm here on Phase Zero. I'm happy to be here. You guys have been doing great work. The Alakwa Cox Spotlight episode is out there now. Deadpool 1 got unfairly 8.1 out of 10 when I... That's what happens when I leave the show for too long. My goodness, you missed one
that's
show.
High.
What?
That's 8.1?
Like I told you, Jamie had the lowest score out of all of us for it. So that was the
what?
Reason.
They were throwing me under the bus.
Listen, 8.1, I had thoughts, okay? I'm going to keep them to myself, but I don't agree. I think Deadpool is better than an 8.1. What else happened while I was gone? CinemaCon, we're going to talk about that today. X-Men 97 episodes. Woo! I wasn't on last week's episode. What a freaking episode that was. Oh my good, I'm still crying about it. And then today did nothing to help my tears, really. But all right. So today's show, we got CinemaCon footage, descriptions, recaps, conversations, all kinds of stuff. Wait a second. Hypothetically, if other people on this show had seen that footage, would they be able to talk about it?
Hypothetically, no.
Oh, so I'm the only one who can...
Yeah.
Oh, that's... Well, then nobody else had definitely on this has seen the footage but me.
Absolutely not.
It was a hypothetical question, and we're moving on. Got an exclusive update about a certain actor who played a mutant once upon a time that I got to interview recently at the Abigail Junket. That might give away who it is if you can do some math, mental math there. I asked them if they're going to be in Deadpool Wolverine. We're going to talk about that. It's going to be on Phase Zero for the first time before it's anywhere else, really only because I haven't had a chance to pull the video yet because I got in at 1 a.m. X-Men animated series. We got Spicy Nugs going on. Shang-Chi 2. Loki's yapping his yap. And then we're going to talk about X-Men 97 at the end of the show. Full spoilers for today's new episode. So you know the drill. If you don't want to hear about that, if you want to wait till you see the episode, come back later. But all right. All right, everybody ready to talk about CinemaCon?
I will say people are wanting us to give a spoiler warning when we talk about certain footage, so we should probably...
Spoiler warning. We're going to talk about certain footage.
Richard, put it on the screen.
Yeah.
It was on the line.
So here's like a more thorough spoiler warning. They showed about 10 minutes of Deadpool and Wolverine footage, and they showed about 10 minutes of Captain America Brave New World. That is an estimate. I don't know how much they actually showed. It was something in that ballpark of each movie, as well as the Deadpool and Wolverine, Jamie Jurak, tailor-made movie theater, put your phone away, PSA, which is going to play in theaters. So this is about seemingly 10 minutes from the beginning of both of the movies. If you want to know nothing, come back in 10 minutes. We'll be done with this. If you don't mind hearing about the footage, stay where you are. You're in the right place. Okay, so CinemaCon kicked off Monday. All kinds of stuff. Lionsgate, Paramount, Disney had the best presentations. Disney brought 75 minutes of footage from various projects. About 20 of those were from Deadpool and Wolverine and Captain America Brave New World. Shocking that they showed off Captain America Brave New World. Let's be honest. We were all kind of not expecting that. But they did. Quick summary of Deadpool and Wolverine. We have a whole podcast episode really going into detail about this. Like, I shared as much as I could remember. I got home like 1 a.m. I recorded this episode, dropped as much as I could. So if you want like full details, go there. I will spare you of the spoilers. But the PSA kicked off the Disney presentation, loaded with F words. Deadpool and Wolverine walking through a tunnel. A phone goes off. Deadpool's talking about Secret Wars. Phone goes off. Wolverine looks into the camera, pushes Deadpool out of the way. He's like, hey, bub, turn your phone off. You're in a fucking movie theater. And Jamie Jurak was like, that's the best thing I've ever seen, even though she hasn't seen it yet. Definitely hasn't seen it yet. I don't know. They banter back and forth. Wolverine curses out the audience for their phone going off, and Deadpool pops back into frame, and he's like, nice fourth wall break. Didn't know you had that in you. A full Canadian comes out, and then they just march off and talk about Secret Wars some more. And then the footage was just basically Wade Wilson selling cars and having a birthday party. And then what happened now? Oh, the TVA comes and gets him. It was basically a longer version of the trailer. Much, much longer version of the trailer. The movie, honestly, it was very funny, but I'm worried this movie is going to be like exhaustingly funny because it tried really hard to make you laugh with every single thing Ryan Reynolds said, and often worked. But I was laughing a lot. But he gets a new suit. He gets spanked on the butt quite a few times while getting that new suit. And possible spoiler here, but his swords are definitely spoiler here. But his swords are like a detail. Okay, skip 30 seconds. Go ahead. His swords are made of adamantium now. So this man is probably going to kill a few Wolverines, I'd say. So yeah, that happens. Matthew McFadden is indeed playing Paradox. I don't think it's the real TVA. He is definitely, that Wade Wilson definitely thinks he's Marvel Jesus, and he looks in the camera and he goes, suck it, Fox, I'm going to Disneyland. And then headbutts it and the glass shatters and all this crazy stuff. So that's the short version. Then Captain America Brave New World. Actually, any thoughts on this? Jenna, go ahead.
Based off of your very good description that we ran on comicbook.com, isn't there also footage from a previous movie that is utilized in a new way?
So there's that. Yeah, there is Thor the Dark. Well, there's a bunch of Captain America footage, Winter Soldier, like all Avengers Age of Ultron, a whole bunch of that. But then in one corner of those screens, which we saw in the trailer, there is footage of Thor the Dark World, the scene where Loki is dying, but they replaced Loki with Deadpool. And Deadpool at Wade Wilson asks about that, and Paradox says, oh, don't worry about that. That's way in the future. Well, wait a second now. When are we? He says, like, am I here because I used Cable's time travel thing? And Paradox says, oh, we know all about your abuse of the timeline. We don't care. That's not why you're here. We want you to, like, basically save the universe. So, yes. Okay, so, Jamie, having not seen the footage.
Yes, having not. I do want to shout out BD for the thorough recaps of all this footage, because it really, you really crush it, especially on that short. You don't have a lot of time to do that. And my short-term memory is not great. So I never could. In your Air Apes one, you're like, the flowing trees of the breeze, and like really get in flower at it. But okay, so yeah, I did not see this footage, but if I had seen this footage, I would have the following thoughts. It sounds very funny, very hilarious, looking great according to BD. I did have one concern, and that is the concern that maybe they're making Wolverine a little too much like Deadpool, like the way that he's that he does curse and certain in that opening, which of course is the greatest thing that ever happened to me. Please play that at my funeral. But I do worry that like they're putting Hugh Jackman into this weird box of like, you've got to be as crude as possible because you're in a Deadpool movie now. And I don't know how that's going to, if that's going to work or if maybe that's, if I'm wrong, if that's not what it's going to be, but that was my only concern. Everything else I thought sounded great.
Interesting. That's a good point. Cause Hugh Jackman was cursing a lot in that footage. The, he was barely in the, like the movie footage, but that PSA man was dropping F bombs. Like, yeah. Nobody's business. Aaron, having also definitely not seen the footage, but reading and hearing reactions and recaps, what are your thoughts?
I've read a lot of the reaction online, and there's a lot of butts. If you enjoy butt-based humor, I think Deadpool and Wolverine is going to be a fun thing for you. I'm also intrigued by the descriptions of our friend Tom Wamscams as like a absolute, like, King nefarious Tom. Figure in this movie as well. People are going to argue about if that's the real TVA or not until the moment this thing gets into theater, so that's fun too. And you know, like, I love the fact that BD and the other people there said it was so funny, because I mean, if the humor doesn't land, like, that would be really kind of crushing, but you figured it would be really, really funny. It's all very encouraging. Adamantium swords, like, what stuff off Haley. Thor the Dark World getting mentioned again for the third time. It will not die. The final battle in Secret War is going to be in Thor the Dark World in the background of the movie. That's where we're headed. So yeah.
Kat Dennings is going to be like, meow, meow, the whole time.
Yay! Kat Dennings in Secret War is confirmed. You hear her first.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast. Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Oh, man.
Wait, so if I don't know how to ask this. If Jamie went to the movies,
D23.
Did you go to the movies with Jamie?
I did.
Okay, I thought so. I wasn't sure. Okay, Jenna, you're in Chicago. I know you don't hang out with Jamie and Aaron. So what do you think of all this?
I did not go to the movies with Jamie and Aaron. But just based off of your description, like I am very, my interest is definitely piqued in this movie. I do agree with you. Even before hearing about this footage, it did become this thing of like, are the jokes going to be too much? Is the humor going to be trying a little too hard? And is that going to distract from the story at hand and the character that's at hand? I would love to be proven wrong, but I don't know. We'll talk about it, especially when we get to our Deadpool 2 episode, of like, there's not always success in that regard. But I'm excited. I do love, you didn't mention it, but I love the LA Rams joke that they make about Wolverine's costume. That is very great. So I don't know. I'm optimistic.
I just want to add, like, somebody in the comments is like, well, Wolverine curses. He curses in fourth class. There's a difference between dropping F-bombs and talking about a specific type of room in your grandma's nursing home that I'm not allowed to say on this podcast. Like, it's a different type of humor, cursing, versus certain things that are said in that intro.
Yeah, like, I grew up in New Jersey. When I'm not on camera, I curse. It's just like, I think a lot of people, especially now that I live in Nashville, they're like, oh, well, bless his little heart for all those words. But to me, like, instead of saying or I'll just be like, it's like, it's just part of my vocabulary having grown up in Jersey. But so there's ways you could say that, like, you could curse and it just seems like natural vocabulary. Then there's what Deadpool's doing with it and the raunchiness of some of this. I do think I think exhausting could end up being the word. I think the movie's gonna be hugely entertaining. I'm not casting doubt on this, but my goodness, there is about 7 straight lines that are consecutive jokes about pegging. I don't know if we can even say that on this show, but I don't know how to describe it other than what it is. It's 7 straight like lines of dialogue about the same kind of joke, right? When the TVA shows up. Well, yeah, I'm the only one.
Sounds like it based off of your recap.
Yeah, I'm the only one who saw it
in the trailer.
That is in the trailer.
Yeah, but it's in the trailer for like a quarter of what it is in the actual footage. Like, the jokes go on and on, and it's a quip fest. And I mean, I was laughing my ass off. I'm not gonna lie, like, I was laughing a ton. But if that's the whole movie, I'm like, man, this might actually be exhaustingly funny. Which we say it like it's a bad thing. Oh no, I laughed too much. But we'll see what happens. I am no less excited. I'm more excited for Deadpool after seeing the footage. Also, I think we're gonna get Avengers cameos in this movie. After the footage, it gave me the impression that not only are X characters going to be in it, I really do think we might get some Avengers character cameos. And Aaron's up there like, damn it, BD, you're blowing the expectations through the roof. I'm sorry.
I kind of agree.
Let's go.
I think everything's on the table.
Okay. While I was in Vegas, I have to tell a quick story.
Go ahead.
I was in Vegas for CinemaCon before this presentation, and I get in the elevator, and Chris Hemsworth gets in the elevator with his wife, and this other guy's in the elevator. It's like, guy's got to be like 5'6" with a little tiny dog with him, and he looks up at Hemsworth, and he goes, hey, man, I think I've seen you on TV before. And Chris Hemsworth goes, no, I think that's my brother. And then the other guy's like, no, you look so familiar. And Chris Hemsworth goes, I don't know, man. I think you're talking about my brother on television. And the guy's like, oh, okay. I don't know. You just look familiar. So we get out of the elevator. We walk out. And I pull that guy to the side because Hemsworth goes one way. Me and the other guy go the other. And I said, bro, that was Thor. He's like, huh? And I was like Marvel, Thor? That was Thor. He's like, oh, my God. And he turns around to, like, go find him. He was already gone. Yo.
Oh, my God.
I do love the response that was my brother because his brother, yeah. He's not on
it's
TV.
True.
But that's really funny.
Actually on TV.
That's really
funny. I was, when he said it, I thought of Loki. I knew he was talking about Luke Hemsworth and kind of making a joke with this guy because he didn't want to say, yeah, man, I'm Thor. But I was like, damn, what a moment this was. That's anyway, amazing. Captain America Brave New World also showed footage at CinemaCon. Really blew me away, I'm not going to lie. And as I said in the full description, that is a much longer video with a lot more details than we're going to give on today's show. I don't know if this means the whole movie's going to be good. I get that. I'm getting excited off of 10 minutes, 10 great minutes of footage, whatever it was. I don't really know what the story of the film is, but what I saw, if the movie is this good, we're in for a treat with Brave New World. Very Winter Soldier tone, very gritty kick-ass, like just the cinematography of it lines up with that of Winter Soldier and some of those Civil War scenes, like when they were in the bunker. Harrison Ford doesn't have a mustache as Ross. They make a joke about it. It's very Iron Man 2 recasting type bit. But the Isaiah Bradley stuff where he gets that Winter Soldier kind of treatment when the music comes on in this room, starts killing a bunch of world or trying to kill a bunch of world leaders and bodyguards and stuff. It was awesome. I genuinely thought this footage was awesome. So, Aaron, you've read descriptions of the footage. You definitely haven't seen it. But, you know, what do you think of Brave New World, having learned a bit about it?
I will say that I talked to Dorian Parks from Geeks of Color yesterday. Mm-hmm. When we were at lunch. And I asked him, and he's like, it looks more expensive than Falcon and Soldier. The money is apparently on the screen a little bit more. It's shot really beautifully, like, you know, those sort of things. And I'm so happy for Carl Lovely to actually get to do things. That sounds tremendous. After having lost a lot of great, like, you know, like Louis Gossett or, like, you know, Carl Weathers, and not seeing them get their big, like, another big moment in the sun besides, of course, the Mandalorian love for for Weathers, but still, like, that sounds great. And just having Sam in any capacity afterwards sounds delightful. It feels like it's been 86 years, but that's every week of my life now. I will say, me and Doria both were like, why? There's some sort of, like he said, there was some sort of conflict mentioned in another part of the world that Joaquin and Sam went to go handle, and they tiptoe around it.
Yeah.
You know? So I'm curious. There is some X-side stuff that, you know, us over at the other side and BD, we all have competing murder boards going on with this movie, but all of it's encouraging.
They were on a mission in Mexico that went well or something before this. And I'm like, what could that be about? I don't really know.
I bet the movie starts with it. Whatever it is, I bet that's how the movie starts.
I think so too. Very much like Falcon and Winter Soldier had that action sequence in the first episode with, you know, that, like, where they were out on a military mission. I think it's going to be similar to that. And that has now triggered the president to say, I want to rebuild the Avengers, which is not very Thunderbolt Ross of him, which he acknowledges. But that was like, you move over, Deadpool. This is my Marvel Jesus. We are getting the Avengers back.
I was baffled reading that detail because now I'm like, what were Carol and Wong and Bruce doing in Shang-Chi then? Was that not the Avengers now?
Well, that might have been, but like not the president's Avengers, you know? You know,
they love branding in Phase 4. That's why they put Wyatt out there with his really punchable mug because they wanted there to be a figurehead in it.
They got those Vought industry statistics going about the superheroes over there at the White House. So I don't think you want White House Avengers, but I don't care who's just give me a team and build it. If you build it, I will come to the movie theaters. Jamie,
there was a moment there was a moment that really confused me, but I like don't know how to say it without I worry it's like a spoiler, even though it was in the footage that you described, that made me question Sam's strength, I'll say.
Oh, he gets tossed.
Wow.
He gets tossed.
Oh, boy, gets yeeted.
Yeah, no, that's not what I'm thinking about, though. He tosses something that made me be like, when you described it, like, how did he do that? But maybe I was just, maybe I was just reading.
Wasn't
too
that
much
Isaiah?
Was it?
Didn't Isaiah Bradley, right, like throw a table at everybody? I think that's what. Maybe. I don't remember who it was. It was a lot happening.
I
only
read
really
it.
Fast.
I didn't see it, so I couldn't be confused.
Right. Yeah. Also, Isaiah Bradley went and jumped out a window.
Wow.
Like Winter Soldier. Really. Yeah. No.
I hope it was actually lovely. He's like, let me do this. Let me just do this. Let me just do it myself.
Let me jump. Oh yeah. So Brave New World showed off great footage. Very out of context footage, so it's hard to even really spoil it. It was action, and they want to rebuild the Avengers. Good stuff. I'm sure a lot of the stuff's gonna be in the trailer. If the rest of the movie is as good as the footage, I think we all agree, based on the description, that it's gonna be pretty damn good. Real quick, they also updated Fantastic Four, starts filming in the next couple months. Feige said he confirmed the cast that we know. Didn't say anything about a Silver Surfer, but did confirm the core four. Thunderbolts does have an asterisk in the title, and Feige said that is official, and we're not going to say anything more about it until after the movie comes out. Ooh, brain
I have a
blast.
Theory.
Oh, go ahead. I just had a Jimmy Let's Neutron moment in my head. Go ahead.
I have a theory. I already wrote about it on the site late last week, and like we had already kind of suggested this on the show when the asterisk originally came up in the Florence Pugh video. I think this is ultimately going to end up being a Dark Avengers movie. I think they either in the marketing or in the movie itself, this is ultimately going to be the Dark Avengers. To the point you were just making about Ross wanting to reform the Avengers, this might be the avenue in which he does it. And it can be very similar to the way that like Norman Osborn does it in the comics, just with Val and Ross doing it.
Oh, yeah. That's actually exactly where my brain just went right before you said that. Because we're talking about Ross wants to rebuild the Avengers. The White House Avengers would probably be some Dark Avengers because they'd be doing some shady U.S. government crap. So I feel like what if after, like Feige might just be pulling one over on us here. And after Brave New World comes out, then they might say Thunderbolts, the Dark Avengers.
It is kind of funny because it's like the way that the Dark Avengers assemble in the comics is a completely different circumstance of like they really try to mirror each Avenger and be like, let's find the villain who can like assume their identity, which you can't really do with this team when it's five people with guns and shields and Ghost. Like that's literally the entire roster. But I think that there's a way to still do it and have it be like we're acting like these are the Avengers that are working on behalf of the government. But in reality, they're doing the black ops stuff that nobody else wants to do.
In the comics, like, isn't it because Norman pulls out the toast on the Skrull Queen and he's the one who gets the shot off before Mr. Fantastic or Iron Man?
Yep.
If something happens and poor Sam is not successful at the end of Brave New World, there could be an avenue for everybody to be like, you know what? We have a different Captain America. And since America, we only know guns, baby. Like, they have to all have guns and weird grounded powers because what else are we going to do? Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. It's fascinating to think about.
What are we, some kind of thunderbolt? All right, we're going to take a quick 1 minute break. We come back, we're going to talk about Shang-Chi 2, Loki season 3, The Blob.
Oh,
and an X-Men 97 animated film and The Human Torch and Kamala Khan. And then we'll talk about X-Men 97 after all that. Great opportunity to subscribe to the channel. See you in a moment.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning.
Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Welcome back to Phase Zero, the news portion of the show. Shang-Chi 2 update. I promise it's happening, says Simu Liu on Threads. And that's all we get. Okay. Well, I mean, who become like, what do you say? There's not much more. Comic-Con, maybe they'll say something. Who knows? I think Comic-Con, we're getting a big update. Hey, Kevin, let me host. other than that, I don't think we're going to hear about Shang-Chi 2 before that.
No, I don't think so.
Moving on.
So what we have heard about is Tom Hiddleston went on Jimmy Kimmel, and as BD said, he yapped about Loki and his future. He said, "I don't know. I really don't know. I know that we've reached some sort of narrative conclusion with season two, which feels very satisfying to me." So I know there was a lot of speculation. There were like reports running last week that were like, Loki season three is happening. And it's like his comments definitely don't suggest that in any sort of way. How do you guys feel about it?
I mean, we'll obviously see Tom Hiddleston again. I don't know if we're getting Loki season three, though.
No.
Yeah, we talked about this last week, I feel like. I don't think we all agreed, like, probably not. And I think that's fine.
I think he might be in Deadpool, though. Well, here's the thing. Tom Hiddleston is one of the actors who really loves playing the character and never says those comments like, I've played it for 10 years. I'm over it. I want to do artsy-fartsy A24. I love A24. I'm just... just making jokes, but you never hear Tom Hiddleston say, I want to do other things, I feel too busy with Marvel. You hear Tom Hiddleston say, I love this character, I love Loki, this has changed my life, I'm so grateful for this part, I'm the most charismatic person in the world, and I love playing him, the best fans, and you're like, oh my god, we love you, Tom, please never stop. And he's like and it's like, damn, Tom, we love you, bro. So I think Tom Hiddleston back as Loki is inevitable. He enjoys playing this part. He loves the character of Loki. He's never given us an impression that he's like trying to hang it up. So I definitely think Marvel would be crazy not to use him. And as perfect of an ending as Loki season two was, I do think he'll be back probably as soon as Deadpool.
I love that we got a new impression in BD's lexicon.
If only I had those insane blue eyes. I'd be further along in my career if I had those. I swear. No, Tom Hiddleston, you perfect son of a gun. Kevin Durant. I interviewed him yesterday for the blob. No, Jesus. Yesterday, I was in LA for the Abigail Junket. Phenomenal movie, by the way. Fantastic horror film. Not even a horror guy. Had an absolute blast with this movie. Kevin Durant is in the film. He's very good in it. Kevin Durant played not only Kimi on Lost, his most iconic role, but also played the blob. In was it Origins? It was Origins, right? Yeah, we just watched it.
Yeah.
So I asked him about it. I don't have the full quote because I haven't even pulled the video yet, but we'll have this clip on Phase Zero later today and on comicbook.com. A little exclusive coming to the pod right now. I asked him, I said, Kevin, we're on the road to Deadpool and Wolverine at Comic Book. So everybody who's ever played a mutant, I'm obligated to ask them or I just immediately get fired. So will you be playing the Blob again? And he said, actually, he was supposed to come back to play the Blob in the Wolverine and be a sumo wrestler in Japan. Like Hugh Jackman told him all the stuff they were going to do that. He was going to be a sumo wrestler as the Blob and it never ended up happening. So he's like, in regards to Deadpool and Wolverine, I should come back. And he was like, he said he like sounded like he wants to. Maybe he is. Clearly, Hugh Jackman had plans for him once upon a time. He was going to be a sumo wrestler. So maybe the Blob makes a return. I thought he died, though.
They did, technically, because we talked about this in our Apocalypse episode. They recast him for Apocalypse. I forget who played him, but it was a completely different actor, and he was fighting Warren in the early scenes of that movie. So like they could find, it's also, it's the Fox universe. They could find a way to bring him back. I also love how at the start of the show, you were like, I talked to someone on Abigail who played a mutant and like, that isn't just Kevin Durand. It's also Dan Stevens. And I was like, imagine if Legion somehow was incorporated into Deadpool and Wolverine, I would astral plane out of my body.
I 100% thought that's what he was talking about. I was like, Dan Stevens, what? And then I was like, oh yeah, I forgot about the Blob.
You'll relate to this pain. It was Dan Stevens and Catherine Newton together for that interview.
Ooh.
And at the end, I was like, man, which one do I ask a Marvel question to? And at the end, I asked, I think it was like three questions in the 4-minute interview, maybe four questions, whatever it was. And I said, all right, well, I got to end it with this, my last question. And then the person in the back stood up and said, sorry, that's all we have time for.
Oh.
And I was like, that's totally cool. I flew 4 hours to be here. I totally get it. Good, we could not possibly go 30 seconds over for the headline that would actually move the needle, but that's fine. I'll see myself out. God, I hate them. That happens. I get it. They're doing it, and they actually, the junket went on super smoothly, so I get it. They got to end those interviews on time because if, I don't know, if they run a minute late, it's the end of the world, but it is what it is. So I didn't get any Marvel questions with Catherine Newton or Dan Stevens. I was going to throw the Legion question, though, but I think you got to ask something like that at CinemaCon, but I don't remember. All right, Aaron, what you got for us?
Okay, we've got more mutant madness with X-Men 97 possibly getting an animated movie. Chase Conley, one of the directors, talked to Inverse along with Jake Castorena, and the fans have been absolutely legion, much to Jenna's delight, about their love for X-Men 97. Conley said if they get a chance to do an animated movie, first off, it would be a slam dunk. I think that would absolutely be something the audience would want to see and we would want to be a part of. And then Jake added, I think myself and the entire team would love to keep doing this. 7 seasons in a movie. Let's go. If the love and the demand is there from the fandom and Marvel wants to let us do it, it'd be great to bring these X-Men, these characters, this style, and this work to the silver screen. Anybody up for X-Men the Animated Series, the movie, the sequel, the franchise?
It would be wild. I love how we all talked at the same time. It would be wild to have the communal experience of like getting to watch one of these stories with a large group of people, because even just watching these episodes in the morning and the amount of like hooting and hollering I'm doing, like if they had that amount of surprises in a movie, like I would be hyped. I don't necessarily want to overwork the team involved. Like I want them to tell the story they want to tell, but if that were to include a movie, that'd be great.
Jamie. No part of me believes that if this were to happen, it would get released in theaters. I truly do not believe that if they made an X-Men 97 movie, it would get a theatrical release. I would love it if that happened, but I just don't foresee it happening, sadly.
I'm going to be honest, I don't need it. I know. Negative Nancy. I think the show's great. I love the weekly format. I think the animation is great. In the rest of these quotes, they talk about how more time will lead to better animation, stuff like that. I am happy with the animation. I understand. I'm sure the people in the trenches working on this show understand maybe there's some corners you have to cut to meet deadlines and stuff like that. So I totally get that, wanting to make like the absolute best thing with more time. But I love the weekly format. I love the long form storytelling that we get with this. maybe after a few seasons, I'll feel differently if they want to do like a culminating event, but I'd rather just have a culminating final season. That's just me. That said, Jenna made a good point with the theatrical experience, with the communal experience. That is just unmatched. You can't beat that. But I don't know. I'm enjoying this the way we're getting it, personally.
BD, when we were in the theater, me and Jamie were there for the like the premiere event thing, and that theme music hit in front of a room of 400 people who are all like very, very about the X-Men. I'm like, wow. The vibes outside are bad, but in this place, things are good. Things are chill. Things make sense. Special.
Just the Nicole Kidman intro.
Yes.
If the Regal Opry Mills in Nashville can bring that energy, I'm there. But I don't know if that's that premiere energy, you know?
Yeah.
Hell, if I given our jobs, we would probably be fortunate enough that most of us would be able to go watch it in that environment, which would be an absolute treat. We're very spoiled. That said, I am just thrilled with the show we're getting as we're getting it.
It's true. I just remember being in the crowd for like Dragon Ball Z Resurrection of F, like a couple, like that'd be almost a decade ago now, in Cleveland, Ohio. And it was raucous in there. And I was like, what is happening? Did I sneak into a wrestling event? What is going on? We're yelling stuff. Like, it was having a good time. So I don't know. But also, there's no chance Feige gives you an animated X-Men movie before we get live action. There's no way.
Yeah.
No chance. BD is right.
We made it 35 minutes without a wrestling reference. Jamie, Jenna, are you guys proud?
Yes. Live your truth.
All right, Jamie.
Moving on. Joseph Quinn talked to Entertainment Weekly about admiring Chris Evans' Human Torch. Said, I remember really enjoying Chris Evans' performance as Johnny in the previous films, and I felt like this would be a really exciting opportunity. I was absolutely signed up. And then about whether Evans' version of the character was on his mind when he auditioned, no. I mean, you're going to make it your own. It's big boots to fill.
Yeah. Jamie's cut out for a second, so she'll be back with us in a moment. Jamie's back.
Did I finish the quote at least?
You did.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
You did. Big boots to fill.
Great. Have to share your thoughts.
Oh, Batman almost just shared his thoughts.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you should try to emulate Chris Evans. That's my thoughts. Good stuff, Joseph Quinn. I like him already. And I like Chris Evans. I don't know. I don't know what to say about this one.
I'm excited that he's excited. And I love the kind of classic costume. We talked about it when the poster dropped on 4/4. Like, his enthusiasm is clear. And that is going to go really, really far for me.
I think it's weird to even think about whether or not he tried to emulate Chris Evans. But I think it's a clever way to ask a Human Torch question to Joseph Quinn by EW. We know what it's like to go into these interviews and understand what the hot topic is, but also you understand like, hey, so tell me about Human Torch and when you start filming or what your character is going to be like, just gets shut down. So you have to find that way to find something that can be talked about. And this was a good way to do it. I'm excited. He's excited too.
I mean, he's been the one to talk the most about Fantastic Four out of all of them. So, yes, keep putting a microphone in front of Joseph Quinn. Yeah. Let him talk about it because, Jesus, we're going to have more updates from him than, Feige or, poor Matt Shackman or anybody else because we can't find them. And Pedro's too busy, saving a small child somewhere. So
I was going to say, once Pedro's now, on, five other press tours, mm-hmm. then we'll get a lot of quotes from him. But, in the interim, we have nothing.
Pedro's on the golf course by now.
Nice.
For sure.
Oof.
He's who I want to hear talk about it, though. I want to hear him talk about this.
But. Adventures in the group chat with the Fantastic Four featuring Pedro Pascal.
All right.
We have one
next?
More story.
Yeah, we do. Do you guys want me to do this one?
Yeah, go for it.
Oh, boy. All right.
Oh, boy.
So fun times to talk about internet drama that is just stuff. So we had some comments this week from, I said, I want to get his first name right, Jenna. Mm-hmm. It's not Zeb Wells, it's somebody else, right?
Cody Ziegler was
Cody
the one who
Ziegler.
Said
okay.
His initial comments. Yeah.
Right. And he was talking to the Amazing Spider Talk podcast about Kamala Khan's death in the comics. Of course, a big topic among comics readers. Very traumatic. Kind of doesn't make a ton of sense, except for synergy reasons. He told their podcast that, well, Wells told me months before the plan, which was Kevin Feige was like, hey, I don't do this very often, but can you please do something to make this in line with Marvel because we have some stuff we want to do with Kamala? So Wells was like, F word, I'm the bad guy that drew the short straw. People are going to be very mad that I have to kill Miss Marvel, right? So she, for those who don't know, she died in Amazing Spider-Man, not even in Miss Marvel, but in Amazing Spider-Man, and then was resurrected as a mutant because she's a mutant in the TV shows and the movies, and it makes sense. And, you know, there's all sorts of other weird conversation around Kamala. We can never just have a normal conversation about Amon Villani or Brie Larson or Tiana Paris or any woman. Never have a normal conversation. Marvel was approached for comment to IO9. They said this is not the case. It was a decision solely on editorial grounds before it had been in the works for months. I have this here cover of a Captain Marvel issue printed by them. I think that's from, is this from before she, yeah, I think it's before she died. Time is a weird construct. I don't remember any months. I don't remember any days. I was in CinemaCon with BD, apparently. I was there. Yeah, so what do you guys think? You think that this is a synergy thing, or you think this was going to happen all along?
I think that there might have been synergy to want to make her a mutant. I talked about this at length, both like online on the website and whatever, that like there were probably other ways to make her a mutant that didn't involve fridging her. I don't mind that we ultimately got to where we got. Amon co-writing her comic has been an absolutely delightful experience. And like, I'm glad that that is the end product. I just hate that we had to get there the way that we did. So I don't doubt that the truth is probably somewhere in the middle of, it might have been partially a synergy thing to help get her closer to how she is on the screen, but then also killing her off might have been an editorial decision. You never know in these right. circumstances. Like, there are so many editorial stories over the years where, like, one person believes one thing, one person believes something else, and you just kind of have to leave it at that.
It's not unprecedented either, right? Like, isn't this why Wanda and Pietro aren't Magneto's kids anymore? Like, it's...
Yeah.
Sometimes the studios get involved. But I also believe that more like make her a mutant somehow is probably more likely than kill her and then make her a mutant. That seems like that was just, you know what I mean? Like, we'll see. I don't know.
Kevin Feige walked in there with a shake and was like, do the job, son.
I think it's definitely synergy. I think it just happens so often where the comics start to mirror the movies. Either slightly before a movie comes out or afterwards. I think it's just they think, and I think they probably properly think this, that the movies drive interest in comics and they try to capitalize on that. I think there's a ton of people who watch superhero movies that don't read comics, but there's not maybe any, but definitely very few people who read comics but don't watch superhero movies. So I think they try to get that large portion of people that watch movies but don't read comics interested by saying, oh, you like that thing about the movie? Well, here's kind of a continuation of that story in comics, by the way. Even though it's not a continuation of that story, they kind of try to entice you that way. So I think it's in the means of it. Well, I don't know why they went about it the way they did, but she's a mutant and we're not surprised.
Yeah, I'd be more inclined to believe all this hook, line, sinker stuff about like, oh, it was totally his decision. If mutants didn't die every 5 seconds in Marvel, they die that every 2 seconds.
It was just the circumstances of it were so weird because she was barely in Amazing Spider-Man. Like, she was a supporting character in the narrative that they were telling. And then they bring her back into the fold and kill her off very unceremoniously. Like, it was just the optics of how she died and not the reason why she died and then was reborn a mutant.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
All right, time for our last break today. So this is your great opportunity to subscribe to our channel. Check back into that work meeting you haven't been listening to. And you got 60 seconds to do so, and we'll be right back.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch's sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Phase Zero resumes now. This is our X-Men 97 episode 6 portion of the show. Oh my God, we're already at episode 6. We only got like 3 more episodes of X-Men left. What in the actual F?
That makes me sad. I hate that this era is going to be over.
I actually just realized that. Oh, God. Make it stop. There's only 259 days left in the year. What are you doing in 2024? I'm not doing much. I don't know what I'm doing. X-Men 97. Reactions all around. Real quick. This is spoilers for the show. We're not going to do Jamie recap. This is weekly episode. We're just going to do reactions, and then we'll do quickly, you know, do our thing where we discuss the episode in detail. Jamie, you're at the top of the screen. What did you think of today's episode of X-Men 97? Life, Death, Part 2.
That was great. Certainly, like, not as good as last week, but they can't all be like that, right? It's a TV show, and we need to remember that, but it was still a great what it was episode. Some of the animation in this one especially was really blowing me away. It got a little scary. I love whenever Storm is faced with a small space, because it happens so much in the original series that it kind of became a joke to me. And so I got so excited. I was like, yeah, claustrophobia Storm coming in. So I had a good time.
Aaron, it seems pretty good that you didn't watch this one right next to Jamie.
Yeah.
Bruce,
my arms are safe. I need to rest up for Deadpool.
Yeah, you do.
All right, Aaron, you're on the big screen. What do you think of today's episode?
I mean, this is our household has been waiting for this. Like Ari was like, my wife was very, very sad at the end of the last one, but she's like, well, also where's Storm? Like, where's Storm? Like, let's not forget what's going on here. So it's nice to check up on her. Also, hilariously, as BD said in one of our meetings, you do not put Ross Marquand into something and not have him talk. So it's fun to have him back and get a check in on what's going on there out there in among the stars with a bunch of fun comics cameos for people to like, oh my goodness, what is happening? Like these interactions that you would never get in the live action versions of this story. So that's fun. I love the modern suit too. I'm big fan of Headdress Storm. A lot of fans of my experience want to be free of the shackles of the Mohawk. They are not as huge fans of it. So that's fun as well. I mean, I do think that it's not going to have the same sort of wow, oh my God, impact of episode 5, because how could it? But it does serve a lot of purposes in moving things forward. And if you're familiar with the X-Men lore, and you know, there's no Magneto and no Charles, at least not yet. He's got to take his time to get there. There's another candidate to lead the X-Men now, which is fun, which is interesting.
Jenna, what do you think?
I loved this episode. I agree. Like episode 5 is so climactic. There is just so much going on to it. It feels unfair to compare everything else afterwards to it. But I still think for what this accomplishes more in 35 minutes than like some superhero movies I've seen and like a lot of episodes of other superhero television. I loved the way that they weaved in and out of the two narratives. I had just assumed pressing play this morning that it was just going to be the Storm and Forge stuff. And I was delighted by what we got as kind of the B plot of the episode. And I just think like there were so many interesting character moments, having Storm go through that big kind of tribunal, having the claustrophobia. I also kind of had that reaction, not as animated as Jamie, but still. I loved it. I thought it accomplished a lot in a very short amount of time.
Yeah. I thought it was really good too. I'm with you guys. I love the Storm stuff. I've been finding the Storm and Forge story to be really interesting.
And then, as I've been waiting for Professor X to come back. I've been like, there's no way you cast Ross Marquand for just that one little cameo with Morph in the beginning in the first episode. Well, I think we all kind of suspected he would come back. I actually, just this week, had an argument with Joe Dechelmeyer from Screen Rant and Rachel Leishman from Mary Sue, and they were like, Professor X is dead. And I was like, bet. And they owe me an apology. So
I'm still confused about why they've been saying he's dead when the series ends with him not dead. He's like in a coma, and they're like, you can only be protected over here. I'm still confused as why they've been calling him dead. Aaron?
Yeah, Jenna? I have had that same question. What?
Jenna?
Aaron, no, you go ahead.
Both of us are like, no, you. In the Krakoa era, they have the technology to basically heal a lot of what ails humanity. And when the humans figure that out, they flip their stuff. And if the humans realize the Shi'ar could come in there and improve everybody's life and make Charles walk again and do all this stuff, it would probably complicate us a little bit. We can't even handle the mutants. So I think they just lied to the rest of humanity to spare them, to spare the inevitable you lied to us conflict that's coming now. Because he'll walk back in there all going.
I also think like the team itself like doesn't necessarily assume that he got with the Shi'ar and was magically healed. Like they might assume that he like died on the way or it didn't work or whatever. Like this is the 90s. Technology is still kind of limited and like their understanding of it's kind of limited. So like Scott being sad and that Charles is presumably dead. Like, I mean,
concussion blast coming out of their eyes and they're reading each other's minds.
Oh, it's so good.
Like they're still in for the 90s. Like I get, I don't know. Like I can justify it. I almost do wish there is like more of a canonical explanation.
Time travelers
in the show, but
shit.
No. This is also Scott's reaction that we're talking about because he is the one who had like the most vocal reaction to Charles being dead. So you kind of have to take everything with a grain of salt because he's very dramatic.
I'm just trying to
felt. I get all your points, but yeah. I do also, I watched that last episode of X-Men the Animated Series where it was very clear this man was very much alive just floating out into space and everybody was like, all right, bye Charles, wish you the best. And now all of a sudden we check back in with him and they're like, he's dead.
I'm just imagining Cyclops explaining to Jubilee that Charles lives on a farm now, and that's great.
Yeah.
That's good stuff.
But we now know he's alive. He refused to wipe his memories. He said, fine, I'll forget Earth. Fine, I'll forget my X-Men. Oh, you've gone too far. You've gone too far now. So his love of Eric brought him back. He said, No. This is the Jamie Jurak special right now. I love
Don't
Eric.
Think I didn't say something out loud when he said, but I don't want to forget Magnus. I bet you don't.
Mm-hmm. I bet you don't, buddy. I bet you don't. So I did find it interesting that there was no follow-up on the Magneto and Gambit of it all.
Nope.
I did find it interesting that they are Glenn under the dumpster in the credits. They are removed from the opening credits. Nightcrawler is added. It also seemed like Nightcrawler was dead. I thought Nightcrawler died.
No.
Didn't he die last week?
He portaled out of the way. And he was like roughed up, but he like looks up in horror after he sees Rogue.
Yeah, no, I thought Nightcrawler survived. That's my bad. But yeah, Nightcrawler's in the credits. Gambit and Magneto went the way of Steven Yeun in season five of The Walking Dead when he was under that dumpster and they tried to trick us. I think this is the same thing. I don't think they're actually gone. Like, oh, please. It would be better storytelling if they're dead. Let's be honest. Stakes are important. But these steaks ain't cooking all the way through. Like there's no way they're gone. Am I right?
No, but it's Jamie, go ahead.
Again, we're all on top of each other today.
Yeah.
All I'm going to say is I don't think Magneto is dead anyway. I don't think Magneto died. I think because we didn't see his body. I do think Gambit is dead, but I also think he's going to get cabled and come back. But that's my feeling, but I do agree that death is important in shows like this. But it's X-Men. Come on,
I think Gambit.
Particularly with the X-Men, they utilize death in such a way of like it's more just about the absence and not about like the actual death of like if you take someone off of the proverbial chessboard, what does that look like for the rest of the team that's left? And so I think we're going to still explore that, but they're not going to really be dead. It's also, this is what I love about television storytelling of like, we did this with Life Death, where we kind of like had part one, then we had a filler episode not involving that story arc at all. And then we went back. And I love that we're kind of doing that now with the end of episode five of like, you have to wait and really see how it ends. And I think that that was the right call.
Torres 88 says, I think they're as dead as Gamora and the original Groot. I think it's a close comparison to what I think is going to happen. I think it's like Thanos in Endgame.
Yeah.
Where they killed him in the beginning of Endgame and then 2014 Thanos shows up. Like, I think we're going to kind of see that. I think we're going to see that timeline kind of not happen. Like, I think Cable is going to prevent it. Cable was there. He's like, I'm sorry, mama. And then I think he's going to fix things. I don't think Gambit is dead. All right, what else we got from this episode?
We have the
Ronin
and Ronin
with a very similar hammer. Yeah,
there was a lot of like MCU kind of synergy because like them saying Terran so often felt very much them like kind of borrowing that from the MCU. And then we got the Imperial Guard, which was great. Let's talk about Forge because
Doctor Strange. You know, they looked very MCU-ified.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was cool.
I was so confused at the magic looking like that and the portals not being square. I was like, geometry, it matters.
I was glad that they justified that it's not necessarily Sorcerer Supreme magic. Like, it might just be similar because otherwise I could only imagine like the YouTube explainers and the theories trying to connect the two more literally. But I think that that was an aesthetic touch.
Yeah. Yeah. You want to rattle off the Imperial Guard there?
Yeah, so we got Gladiator, Starbolt, Flashfire, Smasher, Titan, Warstar, Manta, and Vulcan. I like leapt out of my chair when Gladiator showed up. Like I said, I fully expected this to just be the Storm and Forge episode. And so getting the Imperial Guard and just seeing them animated in this new way was very exciting.
This episode feels like the first episode where you might be a little lost if you didn't watch the animated series before, the full thing before this.
Yeah.
Like, people are like, who the hell's Why did Jenna get excited about Gladiator if they haven't watched it? But you did. We did. So it's like, and the Charles stuff, him being up there, the Shi'ar Empire and stuff, it's like, we get it. We expected that. But if you didn't, you might be like, what the hell did this show just turn into? Why is Professor X up in this cosmos? What is happening? So he almost died. And. Yeah, just go watch the animated series. There's a whole several seasons that will get you there, which there's only 3 more weeks of this. So I highly recommend it. I think most people on phase zero. Oh, wait, what? There's 10 episodes?
Yeah.
Oh, perfect. Never mind. My day just got better. a couple of really good lines of dialogue from Storm. I know you wrote one down. Oh, wait,
a completely different thing. But you talk about your Storm.
I love the what are demons but reflections of our fears and shame line. I thought that was great. Things we bury within us hide from loved ones, and even as they poison our hearts until we finally heal our adversary by embracing it. I thought that was a great line. I think that the dialogue in this show in general has been really well written, but that what are demons but reflections of our fears and shame. Also, the adversary looked like a Studio Ghibli like villain, and yes. I thought that was awesome. Yeah. Like very, very much so.
I want to shout out Allison Seeley Smith because she not only voiced Storm, but she voiced the adversary. And that was pretty rad. Because I was like, who is that? And I stayed through the credits and I was like, oh, cool. Way to go. Way to talk to yourself, girl.
It's so cool to make it like a literal manifestation of her anxieties. Like, that was the perfect way to do it.
Genius.
My line of dialogue that I wrote down, I technically have two I want to talk about, but I wrote down because I love that in a roundabout way, they proved that Charles is a Simpsons fan because he quoted the quiet parts out loud when he was talking with the Shi'ar about like the whole tribunal and everything. And that line originated in an episode of The Simpsons 2 years before the events of this episode. So that just kind of was delightful to me of like that phrase just randomly came up. It feels the same way that like Kamala Khan uses in Biggin and that kind of initially originated from The Simpsons. And then I have to talk about, I'm sure Jamie has thoughts about this too, the whole line about barking with Charles and with Lalandra. Because he was talking about they were being introduced and it was like, here's Queen Lalandra and her consort. And he was like, oh, they make it sound like I'm your pet. Maybe that's not such a bad idea. And just like their whole exchange, I almost had to pause the TV because I was laughing so hard. Like, I love that they worked a line of dialogue like that into the show.
It's an interesting dynamic for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not going to comment. There are so many jokes. The jokes are writing themselves.
Yeah. They are.
Charles is into some stuff. What else we got here today? Where do we think this is going? Let's get none of us have insights.
Nope.
None of us have seen anything. It's all fair game. What are we thinking is going to happen? I think Cable's going to kind of save the day a bit. Obviously, I think Charles is going to go back to Earth. He's probably going to be like, oh no, shambles. And I think a lot of episode 5 gets undone, but I think that that's probably going to have crazy consequences that are going to set up season 2.
I think Magneto's alive and he's going to wreak havoc, and his days leading the X-Men are already over, which kind of makes me sad because I really enjoyed that little arc. But I think that Magneto was right and he's about to raise hell, is what I think.
Scott, I think you're onto something.
Well, because I know we wrote about it on the site. They did put out a Magneto is Right poster on like the show's official social media. And like, if you know the comics, what Jamie is saying basically is what happens tied to that, of like he kind of transcends into a very specific kind of public figure for the mutants. So I will be very curious if they go down that storyline. I think we didn't even talk about like the Mr. Sinister stuff at the end of the episode. I think that that's going to be a huge portion. I'm still curious if Cassandra Nova is still going to be tied to this in any way, or if it just is Mr. Sinister, but like either way.
Jake said don't get too excited about that. Yeah, go ahead, Jamie.
I was just gonna say, yeah, I wrote that up for the site, that he said that don't hold out for Cassandra Nova. He said that's not happening. I want to say, like, so Sinister was behind Genosha. Is that what this ending implies?
Seemingly.
Yeah, which one, like, you know, I love Sinister, you know, that's my boy. But I was also like slightly disappointed because I did think it was going to be someone we hadn't seen yet this season. And I was like, oh, we saw him already. Okay, so it's just he's still the villain, which is, again, fine. I was just expecting a surprise.
Could still get Apocalypse tied into this somehow. I'm just throwing stuff out there.
It seems as though, as well, like, you know, there are some teases out on ye old internet that a human mutant conflict would bring some other heroes into the mix who might have some things to say about mutants trying to, you know, get their lick back, as it were, after this fight started. BD looking super pensive.
Yeah.
It's BD. It's all connected. It is all connected. I asked Jake about that tease from the teaser, and he said, you know, there's no mistaking what that shield is, you know?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I mean, Spider-Man was referenced in the first episode and has cameoed in this show before. Well, the old version of the show.
Yeah.
The original version. I mean... But I feel like these final episodes are really going to ramp up, and we're going to get a lot of I don't think episode 5 is where the show peaked. It might be,
yeah.
But I have faith that they're going to blow us away even more, and not just by throwing a bunch of characters in there. I really think this story is a pressure cooker, and it is like that was one of the releases, but it didn't release to zero, and now it's going to build back up in a big way, where Sinister is now going to have much more to do with the story going forward. You now have the Shi'ar out there seemingly kind of pissed off. Charles is coming back, and I do think Charles versus Magneto is going to be very interesting. I really like Jamie's theory that Magneto is alive, and he's like, you know what? I tried to be nice. You know what? It'll be interesting because Sinister is behind all this, that, like, I don't know, how are the people that Magneto warned going to react? But I don't... Listen, I need sleep. I don't know.
Do we want to rate the episode?
I'm at like an 8.7 out of 10.
Okay.
That was pretty damn good. I mean, obviously it's hard to follow last week's, and maybe if this wasn't after last week's, I might even go higher than that. But I thought this was a really good episode. The Forge and Storm stuff was fantastic. The adversary looked and was genius. I think the having the same person voice both was just a brilliant move. And then I thought the Xavier stuff with all the Marvel cameos and all the characters and that whole storyline and the stakes of, oh, was he actually going to agree to forget his whole Earth life and the Terran life was great. I'm at 8.7.
Maybe so it's BD, high, maybe it's low. I don't know. You agree that an 8 score is a really high score for something to get.
Hold the phone. Deadpool, though, would get...
You're crazy.
Actually, you know what? As a matter of fact, I am lowering mine to an 8.5 now because I think Deadpool would be... Deadpool the movie was better than this episode. So, now, yeah, I'm at an 8.5. Wow. I didn't take my hand off the piece. I can move it back. It's like playing Charles. Me and Jamie are Eric and Charles. I don't know who's who, but we're just playing chess all the time. One day we're gonna have to do a phase zero. Like, we'll all be together and we'll all play a board game, and y'all will see the real Jamie. Y'all will see. Y'all is just gonna stream the real. All right, Jamie, where do you have this episode?
I think it's a really good episode. I think it's better than Deadpool. I'll give it a 9.
Deadpool living rent free in your head. Jenna?
I like Deadpool.
I was going to say I'm at like a 9 out of 10 as well. I think that it's not as unbelievable as some of the other episodes, but there is still so much that I thoroughly enjoyed out of it.
What a comparison. Deadpool is a 7 out of 10 for me. She-Hulk is better. Where did that come from?
Well, they both break. They're both fourth wall breakers.
Trust me, when we were talking about Deadpool, a lot of the comments did bring up She-Hulk and the fourth wall.
Okay.
Yeah.
Aaron.
I'm thinking that it's probably like an 8.2, somewhere around there. I want to leave a lot of space because I'm enjoying all of them so much that if something really knocks me on my butt, I want to be able to give it a 9 or 10. And I might have added the 2 back that Brandon subtracted because it's a funny bit.
I want to point out All in the Game saying Deadpool 2 is going to get savaged by everyone that's not BD, and I do think All in the Game is onto something. All of our scores combined amount to an 8.67, so an 8.7 out of 10. I think Aaron made a really good point. We are ranking it kind of high, and if something amazing does come along, we will be like, oh, shoot, maybe we gave that episode a little bit of a high score. But hey, we just got to go with our – got to rate it from the hearts, people, okay? It's what happens. 10 scores, the way things are meant to be scored here on Phase Zero, 8.7 out of 10 because you know, public school taught me round up when it's above the 5, so 8.7 out of 10. All right, any last words for today's show? Jenna Anderson.
It's at Hey, It's Jenna Lynn on social media. I got to interview Chase Conley and Emi Yanamura, who are the episodic directors of X-Men 97. The chat was so much fun. I already started running spinouts from that interview, and we're going to have the full interview on the YouTube channel very soon. And as always, go read some comics. Go read the work of Trina Robbins, who passed away this past week. She is such an instrumental person in the world of just having women in comics and talking about comics. So go check out her work.
Jamie Jurek.
Aaron, I want you to tell Ari that the first thing I thought of in this episode was I need to see Ari in that Halloween costume at the next Halloween party. You pass that on? Because that was my first thought. Listen to Wolverine. Don't take your phones out during the movie. Follow me on Letterboxd at Jamie Jurek.
Aaron Perrine.
Oh, man. But Jamie's out here encouraging my wife to just go Halloween shopping, all this. And she will do it. It's a real house. Half the house is really, really about that. It's at Silver Lake Corner on Twitter. Go watch Jenna's interview with the other directors. Go watch me talk to Jake and ask him why they decided to break everybody's hearts in episode 5. And apparently Gambit was not the first choice for who was going to die in episode 5. You'll have to watch the interview and figure out who else it was supposed to be.
That's a good tease right there. That's a good tease. You're a professional, Aaron.
That's right.
All right, that's our show, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. Subscribe to the Phase Zero channel. Watch comicbook.com, read comicbook.com, do all the things we need you to do to help us pay the bills. We work hard. We appreciate you guys. We hope it's entertaining. We hope it's informative. Play our show for your mom, play it for your dog, leave a 5-star review, and have a wonderful, wonderful, lovely weekend. We are watching Logan this weekend for Monday's Road to Deadpool and Wolverine recap. So that's the movie you need to feast your eyeballs on. It's R-rated. Bring your kids. No, don't. I don't know what I'm supposed to say about that. Maybe nothing. Bye, everyone.